strike three, ball game over, Yankees win, and it's perfect because the greatest closer in history now has the most saves in history.
Two out. Hard hit into right, back at the wall, tie game! Big Poppy, the grand slam! This is going to be a tough play.
This is From the Clubhouse, a baseball podcast.
Okay, cool. Is that working on your end?
Yeah.
All set. All right. Welcome back, everyone, to From the Clubhouse. We're back again with more postseason baseball. I'm in a great mood. I'm feeling great. We're here, ALDS. Didn't think it was going to be possible, but the Yankees have made it. So I'm feeling pumped. I'm ready to just dive in to the DS series. Once again, I'm NJ, and with me always is Jerry Sullivan. Jerry, how you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. Great, fun first round. There was like 3 days of strictly baseball for like 12 hours of the day. It was perfect.
That was nuts. That was crazy game of baseball. Crazy day of baseball. I mean, who? Like, when's the last time I think we've seen something like that? That was just all day from, what was it, noon to, I guess it was past midnight, right?
There was one day where it was like the Reds and Braves started at 12 and the Yankee game didn't finish till like 1 in the morning.
Yeah, because that game, the Yankees were supposed to start at 7, but didn't start until 9-ish and then went until 1 a.m. That was the game two.
And then right after that one finished, like there was like another two innings of the Dodgers game.
Yeah. And the NBA Finals were on that day.
It was
a crazy day of sports. Series one, wild card series, they're all over. Jared, what are some thoughts you have about it? Like, how are we feeling?
Well, I would call it a scam, except it definitely wasn't. Six of the eight series only lasted two games. But counterpoint. 1, 2, 3 of the teams that advanced would not be in the ALDS under different circumstances. Like the New York Yankees beat the Indians in two. They would not be in the playoffs if we use last year's format. The Houston Astros advanced in two. They would not be in the playoffs if we use last year's format. The Miami Marlins advanced in two. They would not be in the playoffs if we use last year's format. So like, yes, it was kind of like weird. And, like, you know, you lose a game, all of a sudden you're on the cusp of elimination. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like we have the best eight teams remaining. I thought the White Sox would win. But after that implosion in game three, obviously they did not have it. But overall, like, I think we have the best eight right here. Like, you know, the eight teams that got eliminated, none of them particularly earned being here. So half of them couldn't even score a run. So
I will say I am shocked at the lack of focus or lack of discipline from the Chicago Cubs. That's one team that I was, because I think that when you look at, first of all, you know, seven central teams made it, right? The Twins, the White Sox, the Indians in the AL Central, the Reds, the Cardinals, the Reds, the Cubs and the Cardinals all made it on the Central Division, and none of those teams advanced. Or that's six. I said seven. Am I missing a team? No, I don't think I'm missing a team. But am I missing a team?
No. Doesn't matter.
The point is,
seven made it. Three from the AL, four from the NL.
Yeah, three from the AL, three from the NL.
Four.
Milwaukee, the Brewers is the one I was missing. So seven. And none of them made it to the second round. You know, all the teams left are from either the NL East, AL East, or the NL West, the AL West. And I think that's very interesting because I think that some of the teams that made it there were good. Like the Twins, I would say, were a good team. I know we had the whole discussion on the Twins aren't a pretender team every year because they've lost, 18 playoff games straight, not series games straight, which is nuts. But I really did think that the Cubs and the Twins were going to advance.
Before we get too far away from the Minnesota Twins, I don't mean to cut it off and okay. like change the direction of the discussion. But let's think about the last time the Minnesota Twins won a playoff game. The last time the Minnesota Twins won a playoff game, they've lost 18 straight games since 2004. When they last won a playoff game, the Boston Red Sox were on a lower tier than like the New York Mets at that point. Like, they were a cursed team. The Cubs hadn't won a World Series in almost 100 years. Like, it's just insane how long it has been since they have just won a playoff game.
Last time they won a playoff game, LeBron James was on his first stint in Cleveland. I mean, it's crazy. That was like, in terms of just the world, what, like two presidents ago? Like, so much has happened since they won a playoff game, just in the world. And it's interesting because, I don't think that they're a bad team. I really didn't think they were a team that was going to lose to
Astros.
Thank you, the Astros. But I definitely think they were going to lose the Astros, but they did. And they continue to just be the pillar of mediocrity and embarrassment for the Minnesota, the city of Minnesota. And I don't know. I feel bad saying that.
Minnesota?
Yeah, the city of Minnesota. I mean, the city of Minnesota in general is
a state.
What?
State.
State. Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm not going to edit that part out. I'm just going to let it be. The state of Minnesota. That is embarrassing. Here I am thinking Minnesota is a city. Literally in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm so right. Minnesota is a city.
It's fun. You didn't go an entire podcast where you listed like six different players that weren't going to play in their city.
But yeah, no, I was very shocked by that. And I think that hopefully next year they'll be able to recover from that, but it's just embarrassing. So let's go through some of the major kind of first round games and then how that's going to translate into round two. So let's start with the Yankees and the Indians, because I'm just hyped and I'm ready to just start first this time. I went last. I'm ready to go first with this. The Yankees and the Indians. Last week we discussed how the Yankees might have the best team in the American League, or they objectively have the best talent in the American League. No one has a more talented roster. And I kept saying that, in the past couple of weeks in the regular season, they weren't playing like that. So, it's almost, they have this great thing on paper, but it's not going to translate. This series, they showed that if they play like this throughout the rest of the playoffs, there is no team, maybe except for the Dodgers, that can beat them. Gerrit Cole was everything the Yankees paid for. 7 innings, 13 strikeouts, 2 runs. I mean, that is exactly what the Yankees paid him, $325 million over a 9-year period. That's what they want from him, that big game moment. And he saved their bullpen for game two, which was kind of a disaster, which obviously they end up winning. But in terms of just how they got there, it was a roller coaster of emotions. And I think that if he hadn't, protected their bullpen in the sense that they were able to use their biggest relievers and bring them in these situations because they hadn't pitched the day before, they might have lost that game because it was very close. And then that would have then affected game three the next day, but they didn't have to go there. So I think that this team, what they did this series, especially offensively, because offensively they showed up and they did what they're supposed to do. If they can continue to do this, I don't think there's any stopping them.
Yeah, and then for the other side, Cleveland, the first example of a pretender team we're going to go through, but just absolute implosion from the get-go. I mean, their identity is pitching, and the Yankees dropped double digits on them both games. And, Shane Bieber, kind of imploded, and then the bullpen was no good in either game. Offensively, I mean, game one, they got blown out. But game two, they held their own. They should have won game two from an offensive standpoint. But, overall, just terrible. But, again, the first example of a pretender AL Central team that we're going to talk about. And
second, we went to the Twins already.
That's right. That's right. And yeah, and maybe the Francisco Lindor era is over. It's kind of looking like that.
So, I definitely think that that is a very good point. That's a point of contention coming up. I think they still have a year or two left with his contract.
The way he's running around, what he is saying though, I think he's done.
Yeah, no, I don't think he definitely doesn't stay when it's over. They're definitely going to try to move him beforehand. It's going to be something like Mookie Betts. Like, they're going to try to move him before he actually can become a free agent. I think that – I don't know how many – I think they're going to keep him up until that last year, though. And that last year, they're going to try to ship him.
I think it's now. I think it's now. The way he's talking right now, I mean, if you've seen – like, yesterday he was replying to tweets about him and, like, how he might be done and things like that. Like,
oh, really?
Oh, yeah, look at his Twitter page.
Wow.
The way he is at this league, like, he's like pulling an NBA. Like, he honestly, I think, wants out now. And honestly, who can blame him? Like, the Cleveland Indians are a team that has just fully accepted mediocrity. When you think about over the last year, the players that they've sold off, Mike Clevenger, Corey Kluber, Trevor Bauer, all three of them, Kluber got hurt this year, but Bauer and Clevenger were both elite pitchers in the National League and both huge reasons why their teams ended up getting into this playoff format.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, let's just be honest. The Indians could have used a guy like Bauer. Could they have not?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially considering how Bieber, who is supposed to be their ace and is their ace and is definitely winning Cy Young this year, well-deserved, was shelled. And a lot of the reason, I mean, from watching, when you watch the game and watch the reason he was shelled, I think what was really interesting is that I think it was a very clear reason why he got shelled so easily. I think he was relying on his fastball, and when the Yankees caught up to his fastball, he, you know, throw the I think it was a changeup or a slider. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a changeup, and they would just wait off. They wouldn't pitch a swing at anything off speed and force him to throw the fastball in the zone, and would just catch up to every time. So like, it's one of those things that, you know, you hate when the offense is able to jump on you like that and able to pick up clues like that, but there was no sort of adjustment to anything, I felt like. And so I think that's a clear kind of, if you have a pitcher that's able to adjust and able to move when they see the offense taking advantage of stuff that they're doing, that just distinguishes like good pitchers from great pitchers. And also, I'm looking through Lindor's tweets right now when you mentioned it. Very funny. Like, there's this one tweet where someone goes, "For someone who claims he's a team player, he underperformed and acted like he didn't want to be here. I hope they're taking calls for him now." And Lindor just replied with the eye emojis.
I mean, they've been taking calls. I have a number right here. Since the Indians lost the World Series in 7 games to the Cubs in 2016, they've won a grand total of 2 playoff games. 2 in 4 years. With that core, with that pitching rotation, the amount of talent that they have produced over the last 4 years, Lindor, Ramirez, all those pitchers, Kluber, Bauer, Clevenger, Bieber, and Carrasco even. Andrew Miller was on the team for a while. They've won 2 playoff games, and it was when they went up 2-0 on the Yankees in the ALDS, and since then they've lost 8 straight playoff games because the Yankees rattled off 3 in a row against them. They got swept by the Astros in 2018. They missed last year's playoffs, and then this year they lost 2 to the Yankees. 8 straight playoff games lost for the Indians since the 2016 World Series. Yikes.
We want to talk about pillar of mediocrity. We're talking about the city. I know it's not a state of Cleveland. and wow, like the Browns, the Cavaliers, and the Indians, the triumvirate of mediocre teams.
And they're probably going to dump Lindor, and they've already dumped Clevenger, and who knows where they're going to go from here. But
what do you think the future of Ramirez on that team is? Because Ramirez is probably, you know, the AL MVP when we're talking about the MVP race. What do you think they go with Ramirez from here?
I don't know, honestly. I really do. I don't know what they're going to do with Ramirez or Lindor or anybody. I thought they would have traded Lindor last offseason when they traded Kluber, but I think they're going to look very different next year either way. That seems to be the narrative around it. I mean, their offense stunk this year. With this current team that they have in place, they are not going to come close to a World Series, clearly. And they're going to trade. I mean, they need to add superstars in order to get better right now, and it seems like they're looking the other way. So next, if they keep this playoff format going, which it sounds like they will, they might be a playoff team next year just based off the fact that their pitching is so good. and their division is obviously not. But yeah, I mean,
it's yikes. Well, goodbye, Cleveland Indians. Enjoy being home. The Yankees have progressed to the bubble, which is not really a bubble, actually. After I sent you that tweet this morning where there's actually people in the hotel, which I thought was crazy. I thought they like got the hotel to themselves, but they don't even have that, so that's weird. But we can discuss that later. On to the Rays. So the Rays swept the Blue Jays, one of four sweeps in this first round wild card series. Swept the Toronto Blue Jays in two games. Their pitching was nuts. It was absolutely exactly what the Rays kind of stand for as a pitching heavy team. They sent out Snell game one, Glasnow game two. Snell didn't give up a run, and then Glasnow gave up two runs in six innings with eight Ks. Jerry, what do you think of the Rays? How do you think that series went?
I mean, I feel like that series was like, I feel like that series overall was like what both teams like, I think you kind of knew going in that was going to happen. And like, this isn't the Blue Jays year. Like, they're young. Like, we talked about it last episode. Like, they're still so young and they still have that young core. Like, I don't think that it's a major disappointment for the Blue Jays to not win that playoff series, especially against us. They weren't going to be in without this format anyways. I think it's a win for both sides because the Blue Jays at least got in. They got the experience. And now they don't have to do this bubble, in quotes, bull crap. And for the Rays, I mean, they didn't really have any sort of struggle at all. I mean, game one was kind of competitive, but game two wasn't. And they didn't really, like, you know, there was no point where you were like, the Rays might drop this one, you know? Like, I mean, it was pretty much cruise control from the get-go, so they didn't really get screwed at all. Yeah, I mean, I think both teams came out of this kind of, I mean, this series is exactly what I expected anyways.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really shocked by the score. I mean, I was kind of shocked after game one how game two went. But game two is what I thought the entire series was going to be like. But yeah, it was competitive, like you said, game one. Not really competitive game two. Ryu, I think that there's, Ryu, you know, the Blue Jays signed him to be this big-name pitcher. They pitched him in game two, which seems to be the strategy that a lot of people are using, where they're pitching, like, their best pitcher game two just in case that was they're going to be their elimination game, so they have their best guy going forward, which, you know, was a pretty good strategy for a lot of teams, but it didn't work. Obviously he only lasted one and two-thirds inning after giving up three runs and eight hits. He got shelled. I know it doesn't look like shelled, it's only three runs, but in inning and almost a half, that's nuts. Is Ryu a pretender pitcher? Because I think that's been a point of thought for a lot of people that he's not actually as good as he pitches during the regular season. I've thought that for a while, to be honest. I think he's a guy that just gets lucky, and when he's in the postseason, that gets exposed.
Ryu, like, I feel like he's not I don't think he's a pretender pitcher per se. I think he's a great regular season pitcher, but the bottom line is, like, when you're building a pitching rotation, if you're trying to win a World Series, which the Blue Jays will eventually, and eventually they'll have young pitchers that are coming up. I mean, they already have young pitchers coming up now, but eventually speaking, if you're trying to win a World Series, Hyunjin Ryu is a very nice, like, three or four in your rotation, but he cannot be the one. I think that's why that's obviously the main reason the Dodgers let him walk away, was that, like, he was going to make a lot of money, but if the Dodgers gave him that money, they'd be paying a lot of money for, like, their third starter, potentially fourth, maybe even fifth. Like, because, like, when you think about the Dodgers, they have Bueller and Kershaw, and they traded for David Price, and then they brought up Dustin May, and all of a sudden, and I know Price opted out, but all of a sudden you're looking at it, and you're like, Hyunjin Ryu is probably the fifth starter in that rotation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and then if they get Bauer this winter.
The Blue Jays brought him in, and right now he's, I guess, the ace by default, but I think by the time they get good, he'll be, like, the third or fourth, which is where I think he belongs.
Yeah, I don't think there was any sort of – I think even when rumors are going around of what team he's going to go to, I was hoping the Yankees were not going to get him. I just don't think he's a difference maker pitcher. I think he just looks pretty during the regular season. But at the end of the day, you want someone that's going to be consistent. And his advanced stats don't really support how well he seems to pitch based on, like, his ERA and stuff like that. He does give a lot of fly balls and stuff like that. So it's going to eventually translate to homers. And obviously, as you saw, he just did not have what it took to contain the Rays, whose offense, like, he played well, but nothing like spectacular. I didn't think their offense was. When I look at the series, because now as we're advancing to the Yankees versus the Rays in game in the ALDS series, I don't think the Rays seem like they have a offense that the Yankees can't handle.
Yeah, but I'd be careful because they do have some guys in there. They do have some guys, and this is what we do with the Rays every year is you look at that team and you're like, there's no way. No way they're ever going to come close. But, like, you just know, like, they're going to do it. I don't know. They're freaky. Their team, I think the Yankees still win this series. I have Yankees in five written here. Okay. But, like, this is not going to be a cakewalk for either team. Like, both these teams are very good. And when you look on paper, the Yankees are clearly the better team. But for whatever reason, the Rays make it work. And I don't know. I wrote Yankees in five, meaning that if the Rays win this series, it's not going to be shocking to me either. Like, I'm giving the edge to the Yankees. But, like, when you have a series going five, you're not really sure. You're just picking one team. Like, this is right here. Whoever wins this series is going to win the American League.
Absolutely. 100% agree. 100% agree. My thought process recently has been that the Yankees are going to win four. I think that they're going to give up one game to the Rays, but I think they're going to win four. And I think that if they beat the Rays, then there's no stopping them to the World Series. But that's my rational side going. My Yankee side going is still like feeling a little suspicious and is saying that the Rays are going to win. And if they make it to the ALCS series, if they face the Astros, I'm like, just the history of the Yankees versus the Astros makes me very nervous. You know, in the past 4 years, the Astros have wiped them from the playoff. Oh, actually, the past, what, three. 5 years?
They, oh, yeah, 5 years. They've done it three times.
Yeah, there was the wild card series in 2016.
No, 15. They missed. No, no.
15, yeah, sorry. 2015, the wild card series. 16 was the playoffs. 17 in the ALCS. And then 19 in the ALCS as well. So I think that it's nervous given the history. I mean, again, it's a different Astros team, like much different Astros team, but it's definitely something that came across my mind. But yeah, I think that we're both Yankees over the Rays. Hopefully that happens. We both predicted the first part of that series right last week, so hopefully these come to fruition as well. All right, looking forward. Let's do the White Sox and Oakland, because I think that series is very interesting. So I think I believe I had the White Sox winning.
You
did have the White Sox as well. Obviously the A's won. I don't even know what to say here. The White Sox game one looked great. They looked like it was gonna be another sweep series. Game two happened and then Oakland bounced back and I was like, okay, you know, they bounced back, but the White Sox made it competitive. They have what it takes for game three. And then game three happened and they just didn't have it either. Jerry, what went on there? Cause I'm lost for words. I was kind of shocked that they were just unable to pull this one out.
So, like, game one, I mean, like, I think I had, like, Giolito as, like, my X factor for the series. And boy, oh, boy, did I kind of get that one right.
Yeah.
Like, he shut them down. And game one was all White Sox. Game two, Keiko goes out and gets shelled. So, you're already thinking ahead of game three. But for whatever reason, I left the game on TV. I don't know if I just wasn't paying attention or whatever. And, like, it was, like, the eighth or ninth inning. Or seventh or eighth inning, excuse me. They didn't get up in the ninth inning because the A's were the home team. And like they're down like three or four runs in this inning. And all of a sudden, like you look up and Dylan Cease is throwing in the bullpen. And it's like, what are you doing? Like you can burn him for game three. And then game three, you could use a guy like that. And you know, like they just completely blew it. And I got to look up the number here. Like this is just, I don't know.
You're just baffled right now. Absolutely baffled. We're discussing game two, right now.
Game two, game three, I mean, yeah. All of it. Game three, they didn't throw Dylan Cease. Like, they threw Dave, like, I'm speechless, like, the way they went with that series. Like, Dylan Cease is your third best pitcher. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah.
He's still in game two. He came in relief in a game that they were going to lose. Like, at that point, the page should be flipped to tomorrow trying to win game three.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the thing about when you look at managerial decisions, you want to be like, okay, are they playing for today? Are they playing for tomorrow? And I think in the White Sox case, in that particular moment, they were probably just playing for today. They were just like, let's just pull it all out, like pull out all our stops and get the win right now. So then we have this 5 days off to rest before the ALCS series. But obviously didn't work out for them because their offense couldn't pull across another run or another two runs. And it stinks because then affected the next game. And that's one of those decisions where you play for the day and then the next game you just can't do that. It's weird that they didn't, even though they, like you said, Caesar pitched the day before, they didn't bring him back out.
I just don't understand the logic of, like, if you don't have the rotation depth, like the Padres, because of injuries, didn't have the rotation depth to throw three starters out there. So in game three, they went to a bullpen day they were kind of forced into it. The White Sox have the rotation depth and they went to bullpen for game three. That makes no sense in the world. You'd rather a guy go out there and give you at least 3 to 4 innings. So that way you don't have to rely on 9 relievers each having scoreless outings. Like, it's not going to work like that. They were up, 3-0 in the fourth inning. It's not like the Athletics came out and jumped all over them. It was like a mid-game implosion. Like, all of a sudden, they couldn't get them out. It makes no sense. The bullpen day is like a regular season idea when you don't have enough rotation depth. But unless you have no rotation depth, you should never do that in the postseason. Because, it's just not going to – like, the numbers, it just doesn't play out. Like, you can have 9 – like, what the Padres did is unheard of. 9 guys with 9 scoreless innings, that's unheard of. Obviously, I don't know.
You have a very strong feeling. I mean, I hate openers in general. Just – that's my quick disclaimer. I never like the idea of just throwing out relievers to pitch in a game. Unless it's like you said – the only rare time I'm okay with it is if, maybe it's the first half you want to – maybe one of your pitchers is dealing with some arm stuff, but he'll be able to start after. So you don't want to have to bring up someone to go do that. So you just do a bullpen day. You guys have the day off the next day. So do a bullpen day, day off the next day. You get back to the rotation the day after. Stuff like that happen. Or, if you skip a start later in the season just so, your starters feel a little bit better going to the postseason, fine. But I'm never a fan of just, midweek, it's a 6-game stretch. You just put your bullpen in one day. Like, that makes no sense because the next day, if your starter gets shelled, you just use, 5 to 9 pitchers, for a bullpen day. Makes no sense, and I don't like the practice. But
these are the pitchers that the White Sox elected to throw on Thursday: Dane Dunning, Garrett Crochet, Aaron Bummer, Cody Hewer, Carlos Rodon, Matt Foster, Evan Marshall, Jimmy Cordero, and Alex Colomé. There is no way that you can tell me that is better than 3 to 4 innings of Dylan Cease.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even I think they put him out there in game two because they wanted to win that game. But if you felt so confident in your bullpen, why not just pull your bullpen in for game two and then, hopefully that you guys come back. And then if you don't, then you have game three. Because at that point, game three was looking like a must win. And I just thought it was poor managerial decisions there.
I mean, by the time they put Dylan Cease in, they were down 5-2. Like, I'm not saying that it's impossible to come back from that, but at that point, I know you have to you should try to win today.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I just don't know if that's just the right long-term decision, knowing that if you're just playing the numbers, you're more likely to lose than win when you're down 5-2 with an inning remaining. So,
yeah. Again, not unheard of because, as we'll get to later, there's a team that did something similar to that. But, it's not the best decision. And I think at that point, you do start saying, all right, let's just play for tomorrow and just burn who we have and then just have the best people we can for the next game. It's unfortunate, and hopefully it's something they look at for next year, because that's a team that really tooled up and expected to go further than the wild card round one.
But they're also built to be successful longer. They'll be back.
You know, they'll be back. They'll be back.
They're not like, you know, the Indians or the something. They'll be back.
It is fitting though, considering that they also just collapsed in terms of like their division lead in the past couple weeks prior. So, you know,
that's a contender number two.
Yeah, fake pretend number three, actually, with Twins, the Indians, and the White Sox. But if we're ranking the three of them, I think we're going Twins first, Indians second, and then
White Sox third
in the American League. Speaking of the Twins, Astros.
Yeah.
That series was game one, first of all, was insane. And game one, it looked like the entire time that the Twins, like when they scored in like the seventh, I think it was, that, you know, okay, here's momentum, here's something that's gonna happen, and then just radio silence again. Like Twins scored in the third, there's momentum, and they never scored again. And then the seventh, the Astros scored, and then they just never were able to come back from that.
The Polanco play was insane. There's two outs in the inning, they should have been out of it, and all of a sudden he blows like a 10-foot throw to second base. And then they walk out to Altuve, and then they walk in a run, and it's just like, oh my god, like.
Yeah, I think that was a typical, like, the Twins beat themselves. You know, the Astros didn't beat them, they just took advantage of opportunities. I mean, they pitched, Romo had an unfortunate inning, because like you said, Polanco just buffed on an easy throw to second, and that probably cost Romo the inning. It definitely cost him the inning. He should have been out of it. But also, you know, the offenses didn't show up. They scored one in the third and just never did anything else going forward. And you look at a team like that with their offensive power and you think, how did you only manage to score one run? I mean, I know you're playing Greinke and then Valdez, but one run, just like, are we serious? I mean, that would be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, and then for the Astros, I mean, I said they were going to win the series. They did. Not to brag, but
not to brag.
I just do think that they're better than, you know, they show it in the regular season. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're as good as they've been the last 3 years, but I still think that they should be here. If you just take the scape of the four best teams in the American League, I think they're one of them. And they're here. So and guess what? I have them winning.
Have them winning
against the Athletics.
Okay. All right. We're jumping into that right now. I mean, maybe just because I really don't want the Astros to win. I want to say the Athletics, but I think you're right. I think that they have heart. And speaking of heart, actually relating to the Astros, did we see Correa's comment the other day?
Yeah, I mean, people gave him a hard time over it, being like, oh, we're here now, what are you supposed to do? But at the same time, like, I don't know, they are kind of the underdogs in this situation, and they also are kind of not liked. So it's like, I don't know, I asked them this, like, I asked people this, it's like, I know you don't like the guy, but at the same time, it's like, what type of attitude is he supposed to have? Like, oh, we're sorry. Hopefully we lose to make you guys feel better.
Well, here's my thing. And for everyone who doesn't understand what we're saying, Carlos Correa of the Astros, or shortstop, in his post-game interview said, everyone was saying that we can't win on the road because of the whole cheating scandal and whatnot. But we beat Minnesota and we're here. So what do you have to say now? And for me, you know, I get it. They are the underdogs. Everyone has been saying all season long that they can't perform without the cameras. And I've been saying that I think the Astros are a good team regardless of them cheating in 2017. And they just objectively do have a good team. And maybe it would affect some part of their game. But if we're going to believe that they didn't cheat in 2018, 2019, they still had a good team those years, at least offensively. And again, pitching-wise, I know it's not the best pitching team that they've had this year, but if what we were told is true and it was just the cameras, how that didn't affect their pitching, you know, and they had a great pitching staff. And so I think the Astros are still a good team. And I think, like I said, I've been saying for a while that I think this year a lot of this troubles just came from the mindset that there were so many distractions going on in Astros world that it was hard for them to really stay focused. And thank God they had the fan aspect out of the game, but just the idea of going into these ballparks where all these people on the opposing teams just hated them, like legitimately hated them, getting thrown at like throughout the entirety of spring training, basically, like worrying about getting 100-mile-an-hour Chapman fastball at your top of your head, like, you know, worries you. And so I understand that, but it's not like they're innocent at the same time. And people being upset by that makes sense. And so for Correa to come out and be like, oh, what do you guys have to say now? It's like, you're still not in the right space to be, you know, bragging like this. You know, just take the win, let people say what they need to say and be like, wow, the Astros actually, you know, won a game on the road. That's crazy. But don't try to like act as if now it's you're playing the victim mindset card, because you still are the bad guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't like him personally, but number one, what does he have to lose? Because everybody hates him anyways, so it's not like he's losing any fans. And I don't know. I feel like that's the mindset that they should have. So I don't know. I mean, again, I personally don't think they're the underdogs, because, again, I have them winning. I don't think this series matters, because these teams are going to lose to the Yankees or the Rays anyways. But nonetheless, I mean, I don't hate the mindset.
No, I agree. And when you're fighting for a championship in the spot that they're in, you have to have this mindset. Like, you just have to. And so I understand, but at the same time, I just, you know, the reason why I feel more sympathetic for people like Altuve and Bregman and Springer is because they've actually kept their mouth shut and kind of just been like...
I don't feel sympathetic for Altuve at all.
What?
I don't feel sympathetic for Altuve.
I do. I actually kind of feel bad for the guy, especially after he was struggling so much and he asked their manager to like move him down. I felt kind of bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. Cause like, he won the MVP in 2017 with all that going on. And he probably even shouldn't have. Like, Aaron Judge probably should have won the MVP in 2017. Yeah,
no, absolutely. But again, I don't blame him for that too, because, you know, what is he, let's say even if he was like righteous and, you know, the reports are saying that he didn't cheat, that he wasn't one of the ones that cheated. And what's he supposed to do? Go forward and be like, I don't deserve it because my team is cheating. You know what I mean?
No, but at the same time, he I don't know, he won the MVP in 2017 despite all that going on. Last year with the whole buzzer situation where he clearly was wearing something under his shirt, but he wouldn't let them take his shirt off because he had the bad tattoo. Like, the whole thing, I don't care. He was at the center of all this. He's a quiet guy, sure, but he's not Correa. But at the same time, like, you know, all of these guys I feel like are the same. Like, I don't feel bad for any of these guys. Like, I don't feel bad for him. I don't feel bad for Bregman. I don't feel bad for Springer. I don't feel bad for any of them.
Harsh words. but it's fair. That's a fair assessment. Yeah, so that's the Astros going forward.
Who do you have winning that series?
Oh, the Astros versus the Athletics. Yeah, I'm gonna say the Astros. I'm gonna say Astros in five.
Wow, so we're in
agreement. Because I think that Oakland also, like, you talk about mindsets, I think Oakland has a mindset of wanting to beat the Astros, like wanting to find like bury them. I think every team going, maybe not the Rays, but like at least the A's and the Yankees for sure have beef with them. Like, if the Yankees and the Astros play in the ALCS, that'd probably be a dream scenario. Because even right now, I don't know if you've seen the report, the Yankees and the Rays are staying in the same hotel. And so Brett Gardner had said, he was like, oh, you know, we see them because basically they're in different rooms, but the shared outdoor area where they all go down, like, they all see each other. And he said, you know, I'm walking downstairs and I see some of the Rays players. And he's like, I just wave high and just keep walking. And he was like, we don't like each other. And that's what the reports come in. Like, the Yankees and the Rays just do not like each other. And he's like, there's no kind of, you know, respect. Like, there's respect in terms of like, you know, hi, what's up? But there's no love lost. I think I used that phrase right. And they just are definitely enemies. And if the Yankees play the Astros, whew, that's going to be some real heat going on. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. So I kind of hope the Astros do win. So I'm going to say Astros in five.
Astros beat the Rays last year in the playoffs too. So who knows?
Yeah, but I feel like it's not as big of a rivalry as getting beat down.
That series was competitive, though. That went to five. And when you take into effect that the Astros had a little shadiness going on.
But remember, the Yankees were a game away from the World Series in 2017. And that's, like, the big cheating report. So, like, there is feeling in the Yankee world that they're the I mean, CC Sabathia and many players have said it, that they feel like the Astros are the reason, well, they are the reason that they're not in the world, they weren't in the World Series. And now with the cheating and everything, it's like, oh, now we know why we're not the ones because of this.
I don't feel bad for the Yankees, though, either, because I feel like the Yankees weren't exactly clean going on behind the scenes, but that's a discussion for
another that's a discussion for another time.
I'm sure in December or January when we're doing this, we can get into that, so.
all right, so NL division now, NL League. So I want to start off with my sleeper pick team, the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, all right.
Leave the best I had them as a sleeper pick team. I thought they're – no, I was correct, actually, when I said that their pitching was elite. I was correct. Yeah, I was correct. And that I said that their pitching could carry them to a World Series. And in a way, I was right. I just didn't think that their offense was going to actually be that bad. I mean, it is a bad offense. We knew all year long that it was a bad offense. But I thought, you know, you strike lightning in a bottle once, you just carry that for the next couple of games, and you win the World Series. Turns out, not only is their offense bad, it's worse than I even thought it was. And Trevor Bauer had a masterful performance on Wednesday, absolutely masterful performance, where he carved up the Braves. He gave up two hits, one of them to Acuna Jr., which was like 111 miles off bat double, which is nuts. But he carved them up. His final stat line is 7 innings, 2 hits, 12 Ks. And their bullpen did a fantastic job going forward. Iglesias had an inning and 1/3, went 4 strikeouts, so that struck out every single guy he saw. They did wonderful. And then Bradley obviously gave up the run but to Freeman. But again, you can't blame their pitching. The Reds had ample opportunities to score. I think their final line and runners in scoring position, I want you to take a guess how many times they had runners in scoring position during the game.
11.
12. Close. 12 times the Reds had a runner in scoring position. They finished the game. This game went, I forgot, 13 innings. 13 innings, right? They scored 0 times. They basically, you know, if we're looking at, you know, 12 runners in scoring position, basically almost every single inning. Obviously, that's not exactly how it works, but you could look at it that way, and didn't score once. Game one was horrendous.
But we knew they were bad. We knew they were bad on offense. We didn't know they were this bad. But, like, when they lost that game one, I, like, thought to myself, I'm like, you don't come back and win game two after that. Like, you're defeated. Like, you did everything you possibly could have done. Like, that game went exactly how you wanted it to go, where your pitchers put you in a position where you can honestly win that game, and you lost. Like, you follow the blueprint, and they still came out on top. There was no way they were going to win that game, too, and they didn't. But, like, I said it before the series, the offense was, like, the pitching was great, but the offense just wasn't it. And, like, the Braves pitchers, like, Max Fried, Ian Anderson, like, they're good pitchers, but, like, you shouldn't be shut out through 22 innings by those two guys. I mean, I know they didn't pitch all 22, but, like, they just weren't good enough. And I feel like the Braves, on the other hand, aren't that good either, but they kind of now all of a sudden have this tailor-made path to the
– Well, the Braves offense has been good all year. Like, they have, like, a 121 wins run created. Like, they have been – they're, like, a top three based on wins run created offense in Major League Baseball. So they're a top five offense. I'll say top five.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that they won. And I'm not surprised that they struggled against the Reds because, as you said, the Reds have great pitching. But, like, I feel like I don't know how good they are yet because they're probably going to win this next series. And the MLB has to do something about this format because there's no way that the Braves should have this path to the World Series and the Dodgers have to go through the Padres first.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
Like, they have to make it, like, a more NBA format where it's, like, it doesn't matter where you finish in your division to determine your seeding. Like, this year, it mattered a little bit because, like, you're only facing divisions, so you don't know. Mm-hmm. But, like, for next year, like, the Braves face the Reds who, like, you know, you had them as a sleeper pick, but that's going in, like, most people don't think they are good, right?
Yeah.
And then the Braves would have to face the winner of the Cubs and the Marlins. And being honest, neither of those teams are that good. But meanwhile, the Dodgers would have had to – like, they won their series. They have to face the Padres, who are probably a top three team in the entire league right now, they have to face in the ALDS. That's BS.
They also have a top five offense. I'd say the top five offenses in Major League this season have been like the Dodgers, the Braves, the Padres, maybe even the Yankees up there. I don't even know what the fifth team is. I said top five, but those are four of the top five. And they don't really have to play. Like you said, they don't really have to play anyone tough. Anywhere. I mean, although when we look at the Marlins, and we'll get to the Marlins later, but, you know, Marlins haven't lost a postseason series. So
they're going to lose one now. I'm picking against them.
So I don't know. Maybe they'll be my new sleeper pick. Remember you said you're going to pick the Marlins going forward.
Pick against them, yeah. Let's talk about them right now. I mean,
okay. Let's go straight into it.
What was the number? Since they won the World Series in 2016, Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez are like 19 for 140 in the playoffs. What?
Oh, I didn't even see that number. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah, 19.
I knew it was bad because I just, like, watched the sport, but I didn't know that it was, like, that bad.
With like, six walks and, like, a crazy amount of strikeouts. They have more strikeouts than hits. So I want to say they have double the strikeouts that they do hits since Game 7 of the 2016 World Series, 19 for 140.
And, you know, it's crazy because Baez had a very, very bad season. He's a good player. He had a bad season. And there were some in the world who were saying that they should bench him, you know, a la Gary Sanchez. But unlike Gary Sanchez, who actually came to life a little bit there in the postseason, Baez was just the same old guy he's been all season long. And their offense severely underperformed, like badly. And you got guys like Garrett Cooper on the other side for the Marlins, who came alive in this year in this playoffs. So I was very, very shocked by how their offense went. And I don't know how David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, could have possibly, I don't know, done anything better. You know what I mean? I don't think that he did anything wrong. I just think that they didn't play the way they were supposed to.
You know what's sad is that this Cubs team, after they won in 2016, this should have been a dynasty. This should have been a dynasty.
And I think we said that last week.
What?
I think we said that last week, too.
Yeah, they should have been a dynasty. They were an absolute juggernaut. And honestly, I think if you look at it and you see that, like, Bryant, Rizzo, Baez, they're all due for contracts in the next 2 years, I think. I think they're all 2021. And I think it's time to, you know, blow it up. Blow it up and restart, because Chris Bryant, I'm not paying him. Of the three, the only one I'm probably paying is Rizzo. And I think that's just because he's a franchise icon. Like, the other two are good players, but, like, Anthony Rizzo is, you know, there is going to be a statue outside of Wrigley for him one day. But, you know, honestly, like, I think this core has run its course. I think it's time for a changeup. I don't think Theo is going to make it out of his deal. I think his deal expires at the end of next year. There are rumors out there that he might be done right now.
Yeah. So,
I mean, yeah. And plus, not only that, there's going to be jobs out there that are going to be attractive to Theo Epstein this offseason, including the Phillies one, including the Mets one. So, like, if you're Theo Epstein, like, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about, like, all right, I want to stay in Chicago this offseason and start off a rebuild, or am I going to go to Philly or New York and just be able to spend all the money I want to spend?
Now, you said you'd pay Rizzo over Bryant, even though, in my opinion, Bryant is a top five third baseman in Major League Baseball.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm paying either of them, but if I had to pay one, yes, and here's why. Chris Bryant hasn't shown up for a big game in 4 years.
Okay.
I mean, obviously neither is Anthony Rizzo, but when you think about the impact of the two players, Anthony Rizzo is, like I said, like, he is, like, in terms of, like, iconic Cubs, like, one of them for that fan base. And, like, in terms of what he means to the clubhouse, he's the leader of the pack. Chris Bryant is probably the better player, but when you're thinking about the contracts that both are going to command, I think it makes more sense to give Rizzo the one that he's going to command, like, based on his market value, instead of Bryant, who is going to get far more money than I think he's going to be worth.
I think Bryant is going to be looking for a...
And I don't think he's a top five third baseman.
You don't think he's top five third baseman?
No, I think I can name five.
I would like to see.
I can name four right now: Chapman, Arenado, Rendon. Oh my god, I just blanked. Chapman, Arenado, Rendon, Bregman. Like that's five.
Who's the other one? Who's the last one?
Ramirez.
Okay, you know what? I wasn't even thinking about Bregman. Well,
like, now I can go into like Devers, and you know is or, like.
Yeah, I think he's better than Devers. If we're talking about overall player.
Years, I don't know if he has been. Defensively, maybe.
Yeah, like, I'm talking about overall player. I think he's better than Devers. So top 10.
Top 10 for sure.
Yeah. Okay, top five, fine. I completely blanked on Bregman. Because I keep forgetting he's not a shortstop because he did play shortstop last year, like when Correa went down. But yeah, you're right. Those five are better than him. I will give you that.
Plus, like, moving forward to, like, some of the third basemen that we just, like, Bregman – like in a couple of years, is Vlad Guerrero going to be better than him?
Vlad Guerrero might not even be a third baseman going forward.
Maybe that's true. But like, is Yoan Moncada going to be a better third baseman than him in a couple of years? Who knows?
Maybe. But I still think right now he's a third baseman that, you know, you don't want to shell out a bunch. If you have one of those players we named, like Devers, even Gio Urshela, you know, who I think is a top 10 third baseman as well. If you have players like that on your team, you're not going to shell out a bunch of cash for him. So it's like, where is he going to go? Like the White Sox have Moncada, the Red Sox have, I mean, not that they would necessarily pay him that much anyway, but they have someone. Where does he fit? The Nationals maybe?
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, but I'm just looking at it right now. If you're the Cubs and let's say you want to be competitive next year, because that's always the goal was to be competitive. Do you honestly get that much worse if you lose Chris Bryant? Like, let's be honest here.
Honestly, yes. I think you lose your second best. Bryant. I think you lose your second best hitter.
I don't know how
or much. Or I mean, best hitter.
Because, I mean, you like you look at the Nationals last year. Like, it was like, are you that much worse if Bryce Harper leaves the Nationals? And obviously the answer is no, because they instantly got better. Like, I think sometimes, like, we overrate. Pitchers is different, but, like, I think sometimes if you lose Chris Bryant's bat, obviously you're not going to be better, but you're not going to be that much worse either. And again, if you look at the Bryce Harper national situation, I think it's pretty obvious that one player doesn't dictate a team's success. And I think Bryce Harper definitely meant more to the Nationals than Chris Bryant does to the Cubs.
Yeah.
Based off the fact that he's better.
And I agree with that. And that's kind of the mentality going into when Machado and Harper were going for those contracts, you know, how much you pay these position players. Because like you said,
Machado, another one I take over Bryant.
Okay, Machado might be as well, but when you look at these players, you know, how much do you pay them? Because like you said, it's not like the NBA where one position player makes that much of a difference. Pitchers might, but it really is a team sport. But I still do think when you look offensively at them, maybe it won't be like the worst thing. It won't be like they'll go from like, you know, whatever they were ranked this year to zero. But I think the Cubs are a 91 win runs created team. I think they dropped to like, you know, 86 without him, depending on who they get to fill that spot. I still think he's a six something war player. And that's like a pretty big hole to fill in terms of that third base spot. And defensively, again, he's really good. And when you look at defense for third baseman, that's something that's really important. So that's, I don't know, that's just my thought process for that. But like you said, I don't think they're going to shell out a bunch of money. The Marlins win another series, continuing their series streak.
It doesn't matter. They'll lose the next one.
They'll lose the next one, but cause this is their seventh series in a row? Eighth? Seventh.
Never lost.
In a row that they won. No, the Marlins.
Yeah, they've never lost a playoff
series. Oh, yeah, never lost. So shout out to the Marlins.
They'll lose now. This is not good. I mean, listen – there's a lot of people saying team of destiny. This is not the team of destiny. The team of destiny is the San Diego Padres, who we're going to talk about in a second. But the Marlins are not good. They don't have the talent. They've made it this far, which is a miracle. And they've kind of flipped the script. They've gone from the team that everybody hated because they're going to cancel the season because of the Miami Marlins to now all of a sudden they're this feel-good story. But they're not good. They're not that good. They'll be good in a few years, but they're not good now.
Jerry, if the Marlins win the World Series, I'm going to screen record that tidbit you just did. And I'm just going to bully you with it.
If the Marlins win the World Series, I'm going to drop baseball and become like a cricket fan instead. Stupid. They're not going to win the World Series. If they win the World Series, this entire season was a sham.
All right. I'll quote you on that. I will quote you on that. So the Marlins move on. Hopefully they win the World Series so Jerry eats those words. But now we're on to the
Before we go, Braves in four. I'll give the Marlins a game.
Braves. Oh, right. You can do Braves in four. I'm going to actually say, I know that I was like making fun of the Marlins, but I'm going to say Braves in three.
I give them six, though, Day.
I mean, I joke about it, obviously, because I think that it'd be so funny if they won the World Series again. Like, three postseason trips, three World Series. That'd be nuts. But I don't think they're good. And I think the Braves are really good.
And all right. Back down to earth for a second. I would like to see the Marlins be successful, but also, too, just as a pure baseball fan, I don't want to see the Marlins in the NLCS because whoever they're going to face in the NLCS is going to kill them.
Like, yeah, the Dodgers absolutely
are going to kill them. The Padres are going to kill them, especially if the Padres get Clevinger, who might come back, and Lamet, who might come back for that NLCS.
Are they coming back for the DS series? Oh, we'll get into the Padres after. But
it's going to be a disgusting, like, clubbing. Like, it's going to be awful.
Yeah, no, I agree. If they make it to the ALCS or NLCS, whoever they face is going to the World Series.
Just for a competitive aspect, you know. But anyways.
So the real team of destiny, as you said, the San Diego Padres, led by an exciting, exciting young shortstop, Fernando Tatis Jr. This guy is just everything baseball needs. This exciting shortstop, energetic, good player. Game one, they lost to the Cardinals 7-4. But I really want to talk about is the game that everyone is, you know, thinking about and what's kind of solidifying them as a team of destiny. Game number two, where they won 11-9 after, sorry, not game number two, game number three. No, game number two. Where they won 11-9 after, you know, being behind, 6-2 in the sixth inning.
6-2 on the brink of elimination. And this is what you want to see out of your stars. Because, I mean, I wouldn't consider, you know, Will Myers, like, you know, one of the best. Like, I mean, he is one of the better players on the team. But, like, he's not, like, a star. But, like, when you have two guys like Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, you need them to step up in situations like these. And in the sixth inning, they go back-to-back to bring them within a run, and then and Will Myers as well. And then again later on in the game, Tatis gives you the lead. That's what you want. And Will Myers had a great season too. And they were thinking about trading him, and they ended up holding on to him. And I'm happy for Will Myers because he's been rotting there for the last 5 years. And then they were going to trade him when they finally get good. So I'm happy for him. But no, I mean, they got that. They have that, like, they have that feeling. And again, like, I picked the Dodgers to come out of the NL, and I still feel that way. But I'm kind.
They have that team that if they beat the Dodgers, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. No, absolutely not. Like, they are the only team in the National League that stands a chance.
And I think the Braves kind of stand a chance too, but not as much as the Padres do.
Like, talk about that next series, but I don't think the Braves stand a chance.
Okay, we'll talk about the next series.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that just sequence of Tatis homer, Machado homer, Myers homer. After that, they're up by one. Next inning comes in. Tatis with another homer next inning. They're up by three. And then, you know, the Cards start fighting back a little bit, down by one. The Cards are down by one. Myers again ices the game. Basically ices the game. Obviously, there's an inning left. But absolutely crazy. I didn't get to watch it live, but obviously I went back in and watched it afterwards. And just insanity.
And the bat flips from Tatis and Machado. And I just wish there was a crowd.
If there was a crowd, that stadium would have been – well, yeah, would have been
– I mean, I don't know how rowdy San Diegoans can get, but, like
– did you see their parade last night, after they won game three? Yeah. Did you see that?
What?
So after the Padres won game three.
No.
They got off their bus or whatever. I guess they – you know, they came back and they're getting ready to go. to Texas, and there was just a crowd of people there. Like rooted, like a crowd of people were in the mound. They're obviously blocked off by gates. And, you know, Machado took this selfie. Tatis was like, damn, like, it was nuts. I wish I could find, like, the clip. I'll send it to you later. But it was, like I said, it's exactly what baseball needs. Like, San Diego, this very, you know, small budget franchise, just so excited by the game of baseball. And this area of San Diego, which, you know, doesn't really have much going on in terms of sports, you know, like, this is exciting. And I know it's not done yet, but, like, gosh, this is crazy. And so that was, I mean, that was really exciting. And then obviously they just smoked the Cardinals in game three. So it wasn't even they won 4-0. So it wasn't really anything to go home about. Flaherty had a great game, obviously, but.
And RIP Scott Gibson.
RIP. Yeah. But what a game. I mean, what a wonderful like series. The Padres are young. They're exciting. Tatis is the man. He's hitting like .455 this playoff so far. Like, he has contributed. He's excited to be here, and they're gonna be good. So I'm excited for them against their opponent, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who had the fourth sweep of this playoff series.
The final NL Central faker.
Final NL Central faker, the Braves. I mean, the Brewers. Wait, did we call the Cubs a faker? We did.
I think we forgot to call the Reds, Cubs, and Cardinals fakers, but we did.
I'm not gonna call the. I will call the Cardinals faker. Flaherty pitched really well. All right, so when we're ranking them, I think we're gonna go. I'm gonna go in terms of fakers from like most faker to least. The Brewers, the Reds, the Cubs, the Cardinals.
Yes.
And the Cardinals just did what you expected them to do. Like, played pretty well, but nothing. Like, we didn't expect anything big from them.
No, actually, if I'm ranking them in terms of fakers, I'm going Cubs are the biggest faker. Okay. Followed by the Reds, followed by the Cardinals, followed by the Brewers, because the Brewers just sucked.
Okay, fine. That's fair. That's true. The Brewers aren't really fakers. So, Brewers and Cardinals did what they were supposed to do. They made it here.
This Dodgers series, I mean, there's not really much to talk about. Like, it's kind of the same thing as the Rays series. It's
there's one thing to talk about.
Clayton Kershaw pitched great against
the Yes! Thank you!
Congratulations. I can't believe I'm a Clayton Kershaw hater here, but I am. Like, who cares? This series went exactly as you expected it to go. The Dodgers cleaned up, and I'd be more concerned. If there's something to talk about, I'd be concerned about the fact that in game two, they just spent the entirety of the ninth inning roasting Kenley Jansen. Like, Dave Roberts included was like, yeah, I'm kind of concerned about that guy. I don't know. You kind of need Kenley Jansen to be good down the road, I guess, if you're the Dodgers. But no, in reality, like, there was a couple of times where the game wasn't in question, but you needed a big hit. Mookie Betts provided that multiple times. So I guess the whole can Mookie Betts hit in the postseason narrative too, that kind of has been drummed up by the Boston media is dead. So not really much to describe. This series is going to be This series is the same as the Yankees Rays series. Whoever wins this one is going to come out and win the National.
Yeah. I think these are going to be the two best series going forward. The Dodgers, correct. Padres, Rays, Yankees.
And I have the Dodgers in five.
I have the Dodgers in five as well. So that's.
But for the Padres, they might get Clevinger back. There's a window open there. Lamet seems less likely, but if they get Lamet back, they have a real legitimate shot. But if they only get Clevinger back, I don't see how they can do another they can't do a bullpen game and shut the Dodgers out for nine innings like they did.
No, it's not Mookie Betts is gonna just take full advantage of that. And I think Seager is gonna come alive too next series. And I think he what?
He already came alive.
Yeah, no, but I think that he's going to be, I mean, he's going to be like a big factor. I mean, even Seager didn't like, I don't say he had a bad, because he did homer in game one, but like, he wasn't like, he didn't have a great series. I mean, Mookie Betts had a great series. Mookie Betts was like their offensive stud. And I'm giving the MVP of that series to Clayton Kershaw, just because he finally, I mean, I think he's been to just dispel the rumor that Clayton Kershaw can't do it. He was like, I'm Clayton Kershaw. I'm the best pitcher of this generation. I'm one of the best lefties of all time.
If he goes out, if he goes out and gets shelled game two against the Padres, it doesn't matter. The narrative is over. Because I don't think this did anything.
I think he is going to have a great game. I think he's going to have a great game. And if the Dodgers win the World Series and Clayton Kershaw pitches well, I'm done. I'm using
sure, this. But I don't think this series did anything. I don't think that, because this wasn't even real playoffs. Like, they were playing the Milwaukee Brewers in the first, who didn't even finish 500 in the first round of the playoffs.
But if Clayton Kershaw had did poorly, everyone would have been like, oh, that's Clayton Kershaw doing Clayton Kershaw stuff. No one would have been like, oh, you know, it's kind of whatever. You know what I mean? And I know, again, it's the Brewers, so he should pitch well, but
it's such a low-stress game. The only real bat in the Brewers lineup is Christian Yelich. Other than that, they're all players that, like, think about it. If you put that lineup against, like, the Padres, none of the Brewers players other than Christian Yelich would make the Padres starting lineup.
I think the Brewers play the Padres. Padres would have won in two. I think it would be easier than playing the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, definitely. Yeah.
So, like, but again, like, if you put the Brewers lineup versus the Padres lineup, other than Christian Yelich starting in the outfield, none of the players on the Brewers would even come close to starting on the Padres.
The Padres do not have a good team. I'm excited to see the Dodgers going forward. Max Muncy and Turner also are going to, I think, turn up. I mean, they have a really good lineup who's going to, I feel like they were just kind of laxing a little bit. I mean, why not? You're playing the Brewers. No stress. But
Cody Bellinger, wake up.
Cody Bellinger, wake up. I think this series, this postseason just lost on him. Like, he's just not going to be an X factor this postseason.
He has to be.
I don't think he does, though, because I think that with Mookie Betts, they can afford, and I think, again, the Dodgers have a good lineup. I think they can afford for him to not go completely silent, but, like, he doesn't need to be that main guy. I mean, he's not. He's batting second cleanup, basically. I think he's in the sixth or seventh hole. Like, he's not someone that they're going to expect to.
But if he can, they are going to be – I mean, they already are. But if he wakes up, it's theirs.
If he wakes up, their path is set.
They're past the favorites at that point.
Yeah, they're great. But I don't think he will. And I think that they're just going to have to rely on Betts, Seager, and Muncy to kind of carry the offensive load. And then expect Bellinger to be a glorified Will Smith.
So after the first round, I stand at 6-2. You stand at 5-3, and I think we went with the same exact picks this round. So
yeah, we went
Yankees, Astros, Braves, Dodgers. So, I guess that's it, right?
Yeah, and then let's just quickly go through. Like, we can do it really quickly. Let's just go for the Yankees, Astros, Dodgers, and Braves. Pick one player from each team that you think is going to be that guy.
Aaron Judge, Carlos Correa, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman.
All right, I'm going to go.
Nope, strike that. Marcell Ozuna.
Okay. I'm going to go, I want to say Gerrit Cole, but I think I'm going to go Masahiro Tanaka. Okay, I think Gerrit Cole is going to be great anyway. I'm going to say Jose Altuve. No, Carlos Correa, even though I hate him. I'm going to say Clayton Kershaw again. And Acuna Jr. Ronald Acuna Jr. So I think those are going to be the guys that are going to have the big series that are going to propel them over and do what they need to do. And the reason I picked Tanaka is because I think that if Cole wins game one and Tanaka wins game two, then that they're set. They're a win away. And so I think Gerrit Cole's going to be spectacular regardless, but Tanaka's really the one. It's like, what's he going to do? And him being good is going to set them over the top. Because then all they need to do is win one more Gerrit Cole start. So that's it. That's all set. I'm excited for the CS series. It's going to be great. They start tomorrow, game one of the ALCS, or ALDS. I keep saying CS series. DS is tomorrow. Yankees Rays at 8. Championship
series. Hopefully that doesn't bite the Yankees in the butt.
What?
That you've already moved on to the ALCS. Hopefully that...
Maybe I'm just so confident in my mind that I'm just like already thinking about the CS series.
That doesn't come back to bite you. I mean, news, I might come back and you know just grab the soundbite, but.
So again, Jerry, thank you. I'm looking forward to this week. And it's going to be a great six days possibly of baseball.
And after we both go 0-4, we'll be back next week to complain about how the rest of the playoffs are going to suck.
I think this week we're going to go at least 3-4. I think there's going to be
4-4. I don't think any of these series are really in question.
Marlins.
Oh, you picked the Marlins, right? Oh,
no, I didn't pick the Marlins. I was just kidding. But if the Marlins win, we're going to have a great episode next week. Because
I'm going to pick against them again.
I will say just now, if the Marlins win this week, that Marlins are going to be my pick out of the NL.
I'm going to pick against them.
Because like they have to be. So that's I'm just going to say.
If they face the Yankees in the World Series, then I'll pick them.
What?
If they face the Yankees in the World Series, I'll pick them because at that point I'm my back's against the wall.
Okay. All right. Fine. So thank you everyone for listening. We're excited for this week. Hopefully everyone can tune in and watch some baseball. And we'll see you all next week. Thank you, Jerry.
Don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out. You say your style of life's a dragon and that you must go out.